Let's move forward. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. But grow in grace. Is anybody excited about growing in 2019? Praise the Lord. I preach to you today, growing forward. Growing forward. Jesus, thank you, Lord. I pray that you'd speak to us, challenge us, God. We want to grow. We want to grow and be everything you have called us to be. I pray that you would touch us right where we are today. And I pray that you would give us that vision of the future, of where you want us to go. I pray that you would minister to every life and help us to see where our life fits into your plan for the kingdom of God. We give you all the praise and the worship for it right now in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Before you're seated, would you give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Thank you, God. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. Success. Success is defined as the accomplishment of an aim or a purpose. There are countless ideas of what success really is. Everything ranging from popularity and wealth and fortune to prosperity, to acclaim, to fame. But really, if we want to know the true measure of success in life, it can't possibly be counted in dollars and cents. It cannot be measured by physical or social accomplishments. The true measure of success in life, it cannot be found within any terms of this life. The true test of success is beyond. It's found only beyond in eternity, and it comes through growing a Christ-like character. In our text today, Peter challenges the church. He says, "Be on guard so that you're not led away by the error of the wicked. And lose your own foundation." That's something that we would do good to be on guard about, that the wicked don't lead us astray from the things of God. But Peter writes, rather, he says you need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Poet Robert Browning once said, "Man was made to grow, not stop." How alarming for a mother if a baby shows no signs of growth week after week. A farmer would be dismayed if his crops never brought a harvest. When we're born again of the water and of the Spirit, we are not done growing. We are just starting this journey with the Lord. The path of growth has just begun. Come on today, I've come to tell somebody that we're not done growing. You're not yet where God wants you to be. He has more in store for us. He has a future plan for our life. Come on, he's got a work for you to do. He has lessons for us to learn. He has greater things in store. We shouldn't get too comfortable where we are today. Don't just relax and take it easy, because God's plan is that we grow forward. If we're not growing, we're dying. Sometimes you may not see the visible growth in your life, but the plan of God is that through every season and through every experience, through everything that we go through, God's plan is that we grow. Throughout the New Testament, Christian character is related to growth. Peter related growth to a building. He said, "We are lively stones being built up into a spiritual house." And I hope that this church never forgets Brother Mark Morgan's word to this church from God last year, that Jesus is the master builder. He is the master builder, and he is building a spiritual house. And we are lively stones. We are lively stones that he is using for his purpose. But we must never get to thinking that we are so important that God can't just pull our stone out. Come on, he is the master builder. It is his church. It is his work. He is building his church. Paul related growth to being in a body with Jesus Christ as the head. You have to have unity in the body. We're all working together. The head gives us direction. A healthy body moves together in harmony, and a healthy body grows. Jesus talked about growth in John 15 and 5. He said, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. I tell you, when we're healthy, we're growing. When we're healthy, we're connected to the vine. When we're healthy, we're receiving nourishment, and we bring forth fruit. We've got to become Christ-like, but we've always got to remember God is the source. God is the source of nourishment, and without him, we can do nothing. In the church setting, we hear a lot about church growth. But nowhere in the Bible do we find that we're to grow churches. And yet that's what most churches are focused on. That's the main subject at most church leadership conferences. But read the words of Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The purpose of the fivefold ministry of the church is for the perfecting of the saints, for the equipping of the saints, for helping people to grow into what God has designed for us to be. That's what we're called to do at Harvest, to grow people, to grow people. Growing a church is a byproduct of growing people. If we will equip people, if we will prepare them for service, if we'll get people ready for action, for the work of the ministry, then consequently, God will grow the church. And so God has called us to a life of growth. He is the vine, and we are the branches. If we'll stay connected to the vine, if we'll abide in him, then we can bring forth much fruit. And I believe today that there is some fruit in store for this year. I believe today that there's some fruit. Somebody needs to hear this. There is growth for this year. Maybe there's a longing in your heart to grow. Maybe today you're not happy exactly where you're at. You look at your life and you think, I should be way further down the road. I want to tell you, it's God's will you grow this year. It's God's will you grow forward this year. Praise the Lord. Come on, we all have room for growth. There's hope for every single one of us. It is God's will that we grow. I want us to make up in our mind today that this year, whatever else God brings to us, this is going to be a year of growth. We're not standing still. We're not going back. We're not giving up. We're not taking it easy. Come on, we're going to grow. We're going to grow because God is calling us forward. There are greater things ahead. There is a future that he has promised for us. He has planned it for our life. And by faith, we're going to possess it. Praise the Lord. Maybe you're taking account where you are compared to right now as compared to last year. At this time, maybe you're not completely satisfied with 2018. Maybe you're looking forward at where you want to go, and you realize that, oh, it's a long ways to get there. Whatever the case is today, I believe it's God's will for us to grow. And if we'll get in tune with God's will, if we'll look for opportunity in every opposition, there's always opportunity in every opposition. If we'll see victory in every valley. Victory in every valley. If we'll realize today that there's triumph in every trial. There's triumph in every trial. Then we can grow this year. We can make progress. We can grow forward. Somebody needs to hear this today. It's God's will that you grow. It's God's will that you grow forward. He's not finished with your life. He's not done with you yet. You just... You just, come on, you just hang on and get ready for what God's going to do. And by faith, you keep walking forward. And by faith, you keep learning. And by faith, you keep looking for victory. Because God's saying, I'm ready to grow some people today. So let's look at some principles for growth. The first principle is this. Growth is possible. Growth is possible. Every one of us has the opportunity and the potential to experience spiritual growth. It's God's will that every one of us grow. None of us are left out of that plan. None of us are left out of that plan. If someone isn't growing spiritually, there's a reason. Either they haven't been discipled, or for some reason, they're just not responding to the opportunity to grow. It could be that they're stuck somewhere. But the opportunity for growth, it exists for every single one of us. Sometimes we think, oh, I'm beyond help. Or maybe we think, well, I'm too young or I'm too old to grow. Maybe it's been a long time since you've grown. But I want to tell you, it's God's will that we grow. Maybe we're fearful today. We're fearful about what it's going to cost us. Maybe sometimes we can't grow forward because we can't let go of the past. But with God, all things are possible. Growth is possible. God can take us forward from wherever we are. I believe He wants to do a new thing in us. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I've come to encourage you today. God wants to do a new work in you. Just because you haven't had that breakthrough yet, don't you give up on God. It could be that this year is going to bring that breakthrough. Come on, just because you struggled in 2018, it doesn't mean you're going to have to struggle in 2019. You just keep trusting God. It could be that the struggle of 2018 is giving you the strength to climb up some mountains this year. And God saying, I was just getting you ready for what I'm about to do. Don't give up on me now. Don't you turn around now, but you keep having faith and you keep growing forward. Hallelujah. Come on, I feel it in my spirit. Somebody needs to have a little faith. Rise up in this house today. God is able to do anything. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. We just got to stay close to Him. We just got to keep in His plan. We've got to keep believing by faith, and He's going to work it out. Amen. Growth is possible. Number two, we are responsible for our spiritual growth. God is ready. He wants us to grow. The church has got to create an environment where people are helped to grow. But ultimately, every single one of us are responsible for our own spiritual growth or our lack of it. The church has to do all it can, but there's some things the church can't do. And God is going to do all that He can, but there's some things God just won't do. There's some things we have to do it ourselves. We cannot blame anyone else for our lack of spiritual growth. At the judgment day, when we're before the judgment seat, I want to tell you, we're not going to be able to blame anybody else. It's going to be us and the Lord. There's not going to be any excuses there. It's our responsibility to grow. We've got to have a desire to grow. There's got to be a desire in us. There needs to be that same desire that's somehow genetically planted within that seed. And that seed is planted in the ground. But there's something within that seed. It's not just going to stay in the ground. There's something within its genetic makeup. There's a desire for something more. There's a desire to grow. And so what does that seed do? It makes the choice to grow. We each have to make the choice to grow. And how does that start? We first have to make the choice to die. Jesus said in John 12:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. that seed has such a desire to grow. It has such a desire to not stay planted there in the darkness that it makes the choice to die so that new life can begin. And as long as our flesh is still kicking, as long as our flesh is still alive, we're not going to fully grow like God wants us to. But when we're able to crucify this flesh, when we're able to put it on the altar, when we're able to fast and pray, I tell you, then we're able to grow in grace. Galatians 5:19 tells us, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Our flesh has to be crucified. We have to make the choice to die out to sin. We've got to make the choice that we want to grow. And once that seed has died, once that seed has died, there's something that God placed within it. It doesn't just die, but it starts reaching for the sun. It starts reaching for something that's of a higher place. And in not too many days, you'll see a little sign of growth coming up out of the earth. And it keeps on growing until there's fruit, until there's a harvest. Come on, somebody, don't you just die, but let there be a desire that when you're crucified in your flesh, you're going to make the choice to grow, and you're going to keep reaching for Jesus, and you're going to keep trying to go higher, and you're going to keep trying to kind of grow in grace and reaching forward. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, there's some of you, you've been planted, you've been in darkness too long. Come on, you just need to get that old flesh to die out. I'm tired of being where I've been for so long. God, whatever's holding me back, let it die out on the altar, because I'm ready to grow. I'm ready to grow forward. I'm ready to see power. I'm ready to see the anointing of God. I've got to die out right now, because there's more in store for me. Praise the Lord. We are responsible for our own spiritual growth. If there's one thing that's holding this generation back, it's the lack of responsibility. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Have you noticed? If their life is a wreck, it's always somebody else's fault. It's their parents, it's their teachers, it's that policeman's fault. He shouldn't have pulled me over. It's the government's fault. It's Trump's fault. Well, hello. If we want to grow, we can't play the blame game. We have to accept responsibility. We have to admit our mistakes. We've got to stop blaming everybody else and get honest with God. Come on. Yes, we've messed up. We've all sinned, every single one of us, and come short of the glory of God. But Jesus Christ died for every single one of us. He died for us while we were yet sinners. And so when we take responsibility and repent, He's there. He's there waiting to help us move forward. If we're going to take responsibility, then we've got to step back sometimes and say, okay, God, I got to look where I'm at. And we've got to be teachable. We may have a lot of talent and a lot of abilities, but if we don't have a teachable spirit, we're not going to grow. Help us, Lord. John Maxwell says the number one quality to look for in a growing leader is a teachable spirit. I believe that today. Hey, if you're ever interviewing for a job and you realize that you may not have as much experience that some others applying for that job have, don't you feel inferior. Don't feel inferior. You make it clear that you have a teachable spirit. You make it clear that you're willing to work. And you're willing for them to teach you and to mold you in what they want you to be in that job. I tell you, if you have a teachable spirit, that's more valuable than a dozen others that think they know it all. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, none of us have arrived. Not one of us know it all. We've all got a ways to go. Let's make up our mind that we're going to grow this year. If we didn't grow in 2018, ultimately it's our own fault. We've got to take responsibility for our growth. The third growth principle is growth starts with vision. Growth starts with vision. We've got to have a vision of where we're going. Anybody ever used a GPS? Anybody ever tried to get Siri to help you figure out where to go? Sometimes my phone moves so slow, and it's always those times that I'm sitting at a light and I need to know real quick, do I go left or right or straight? If we're going to use GPS to get somewhere, at first, it's got to know where you're at. It's got to know where we're at. And then it's got to know where we're going. Sometimes we've got to be honest with ourselves. We've got to be honest with our God about where we're at. Come on. Sometimes that's painful. Sometimes it's not fun, but we've got to be aware of where we're at. Hey, I tell you, there's nothing like a good soul searching. After a good time of prayer and the moving of God's Spirit to reveal some things about our lives. And it's not always fun to see ourselves in the light of God's Spirit. There's some things that we really don't want to admit about ourselves. But if we're going to grow, then we've got to know where we're at. And then we can see where we're going to go. Growth starts with vision. Solomon said, where there is no vision, the people perish. Growth starts with vision. We've got to see where we're at, and then we've got to let God give us direction and a vision about where to grow. Have we grown this last year? Have we made progress? Have we moved forward? Come on, it's hard to see progress every day. But you can look back over the past year, and you can see, have I grown this year? How is my prayer life? How is our Bible reading? Have we been faithful? Have we been faithful in church attendance? Have we been faithful in our giving? Have we been faithful to truth? Come on, have we been faithful to our spouse? Have we been faithful to our family? How have we done this past year? And where do we need to grow this next year? If our prayer life has suffered this last year, it's got to be a priority now. Come on, if we didn't read our Bible last year, we need to get in a Bible reading plan right now. If we weren't so faithful last year in church attendance, then we've got to make a commitment that church comes first. Come on, church comes first, unless we're contagious. And if you're contagious, go home. But unless we're contagious, we got to make up our minds, I'm coming to church. It's not an optional activity in my life. Hallelujah. If we struggled in our financial commitment to God last year, there's got to be something inside of us that says, I'm going to make it a priority this year. Before a new hobby, before a new car, before a new vacation, before a new house, I'm going to be faithful in my tithing. I'm going to be faithful in my offerings. And in other giving, as God leads me, if we don't make faithfulness an absolute priority, then when it comes to our finances, trust me, there'll be other things that money will be spent on. If we've struggled in faithfulness to our family last year, then we've got to see, I've got to grow in that area this year. Harvest, come on, we see where we're at. God has poured out his favor to this church. He has been so good to us. He has brought us a long, long way, but we're still going forward. He's not finished with us yet. He's still going to do some great things. There are promises that God has given this church. I want to tell you, when God gave those promises, he already looked through the years of time until where we're at right now. And when God gave those promises, he took into account everything that was going to happen, in the future when back then he gave those promises. And his promises have not changed. He knew what we were going to face, each of us, in the past year before we ever got here. And I tell you, God's plan, it's still true. It's still for revival. It's still for growth. It's still for success.
Hallelujah.
So where are we going? Where there's no vision, the people perish. What is our vision? What are we looking ahead for? What are we focused on? We're focused on being a church that loves God with all of our heart. We're focused on a church, being a church that's growing in faith ever closer to Jesus. We're going to be a church that serves others. We're not going to be a selfish church. We're going to be a church that serves others. And I believe that God is going to help us change this world around us. That's our vision. That's what encompasses what we're trying to do here at Harvest. It explains our mission. It explains our strategy. Come on. We've got to grow forward. What's our vision for the type of disciples we're trying to see developed? People who love God with all their heart. People who are growing, not stagnant, not complacent, but growing. People that serve others and people that go change the world. Growth starts with vision. I pray that you make this your vision this year, to love God, to grow in faith, to serve others, and to go change the world. Growth starts with vision. Principle number four, growth can be painful. Growth can be painful. Come here, Daniel. Come here, Colt. Come on, Daniel. He's moving faster than you. Come up here. Folks, if y'all will go out in the foyer, and if you'll look at the picture of my family at the installation service for us, I tell you what, it'll rip your heart out. At least it will mine. This little buddy right here, just look at his picture then as compared to now 3.5 years later. And this one, my goodness, sometimes I think we forget that he's shooting up too because Daniel's shooting up, but this one has really shot up. Look at those legs. Those are some long legs. Those are good for playing basketball and jumping high. Both of them experience what's called growing pains. Because those things have grown. Daniel's has grown about a foot in the past year. Colt's has grown a lot. Thank you. Give them a hand. They did a good job. Just growing can be painful sometimes. It can be painful. Come on, here's a fact. A person who has never made a mistake is a person who never tried to grow. A person who never made a mistake is a person who never tried to grow. Mistakes are a part of growth. Failures are a part of growing. Growth can be painful. Sometimes we go through wilderness experiences. But the role of the wilderness in our lives, in our spiritual growth, it is vital. We read of Jesus in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. I hungered all the way through it. I don't know about afterward. If Jesus had to go through the wilderness, then how important is that experience in preparing each of us? He spent 40 days alone in a desert, away from food and noise and distraction. I tell you, it was lonely. It was lonely, but both Luke and Matthew tell us that this was a time that was ordained by the Spirit. The Holy Ghost, the Spirit led him into the wilderness. There are some times, come on somebody, hear this today. There are some times that God, in his tender love and his tender mercy and kindness, he will lead us in the Spirit at times to an experience in the wilderness. But don't you think that experience is meant to destroy us? Oh, no, I tell you, it was meant to prepare us. It was meant to strengthen us. It is meant for our growth.
Hallelujah.
What happens in the wilderness? We learned that seasons God leads us through, they're not always for our own gratification. They're for our growth. It's not always where we want to go. If I'm going to go on a vacation, I don't want to go to the desert. I don't want to go to the wilderness. I want to go somewhere they got a good steak. Come on, that season is not always the season we want to be in, but it's what God sees that we need in order for us to grow. And in the wilderness, we got to learn to trust God. We've got to learn to overcome the temptation to take shortcuts. We've got to learn to be disciplined, to be faithful, to depend on God. In that wilderness, our pride is broken. Our self-will is broken. How true it is. The wilderness helps us gain perspective of what's really important in our life. And it prepares us for a new season of growth that would have never been possible if it had not been for that wilderness. The role of the wilderness in our lives. Come on, you don't try to avoid it. If God leads you through the wilderness, you just start trusting God by faith. You start looking around for some lessons that you're going to learn. You just be trusting in God and praying, God, help me to learn this the first time. Growth can be painful. Charles Spurgeon said it like this. Growth can be painful, but nothing is more painful than staying stuck somewhere that we don't belong. Growth can be painful, but nothing is more painful than staying stuck somewhere that we don't belong. If we have to go through the wilderness in order to grow into what God wants us to be, then let's make up our minds. I'm going to go through that wilderness, but I'm going to do it by faith. I'm going to learn from my mistakes. Come on, I'm going to get up when I fall. Let's determine to fail forward. Proverbs 24:16, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. If you've fallen, you just keep getting back up. Come on, let's grow forward. Let's grow forward. Let's learn from the past, but leave the past behind. It may be painful to move forward, but don't stay stuck somewhere that you don't belong. Micah chapter 7 and verse 8, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise. Come on, some of you, you might have fallen in 2018, but don't stay stuck there. You get up, you keep trying again, you keep going forward. God's calling you to grow. Growth principle number 5, growth happens best together. Growth happens best together. From influenza to Ebola, major efforts have been made all around the world to stop disease. One disease, however, has gone largely unnoticed, the disease of isolation and disconnection. Don't you know society is more connected than ever today? Most of you knew about this engagement that happened before you ever got to church. Through media, we know what happens all over the world in mere seconds. I've been to third world countries and I've seen absolute shacks made out of cardboard and scrap pieces of wood with tarps and pieces of metal making a roof. And on that shack, somewhere, would be attached a satellite dish. It's the craziest thing. I tell you, this world is so connected. But in spite of that, we're losing connections with one another. Growth in the kingdom of God, it can't happen long term without a relationship with others. We grow together. Iron sharpeneth iron. Have you ever thought about how did 120 people who were in the upper room, how could they face the challenge of 3,000 people being added into the church in one day's time, plus thousands and thousands of more soon after. Can you imagine if all of a sudden those here right now, if we'd have to take care of 3,000 new babes in Christ? How did the new church minister to such a large group of people? They did it the same way Jesus had taught them. Much of the growth the disciples experienced, it happened in the context of a small group. A small group. Iron sharpens iron. People grow together. That's why we push discipleship groups. That's why we push Bible studies and small groups. If we're not taking part in these opportunities, we're missing out on some growth for our life. I know it's not always convenient. I know we have to give up our time that we'd spend doing something else. But one fellowship a week, besides our church services, it's not going to kill us. And you're not committing to your whole life. You're committing just to the next 12 weeks or so. Come on, the new church did more than that. Acts 2:46, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I fully believe that in the last days, there is going to be such a transformation of the church. There is going to be such a revival of the church that it's going to be a daily church. It's going to be a daily church. I don't know how it's all going to come together, but I believe there'll be people receiving the Holy Ghost daily. I believe this baptismal tank, it's going to be troubled daily with the water as people go down in Jesus' name. I believe there's going to be miracles daily. I believe there's going to be signs and wonders on the street daily. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, you can commit to one time a week being a part of a discipleship group or a fellowship group or a Bible study. We grow together. And as we're doing that, we've got to be mindful of the culture that we're creating. I want to tell you, culture matters. Culture either helps people grow or it stunts their growth. We have to take into account our culture. Do we have a culture that's conducive to developing people in the kingdom of God? Is it a healthy culture? Is it a positive culture? Do people experience hope and healing? Just like plants don't grow in toxic environments, people don't truly grow in toxic cultures. A church that allows slander and gossip and backbiting and rudeness and arguing and fighting and judgmental behavior, and people are not going to grow in that kind of culture. Growth occurs in healthy cultures. And all of us here today are guardians of the culture of this church. We have to make up our minds that we're not going to allow some things into this culture. Amen. Let's define what kind of culture we're going to have here. We're going to be Christ-like. We're going to be godly. We're going to be kind to others. Come on, salvation is for all. We're going to love others. We're going to be friendly. We're going to stand for truth, but we're going to teach people in love. We're not going to allow gossip and backbiting and judgmental behavior and manipulation and all of that junk. If people are promoting that kind of behavior, you have my permission to end the conversation. Go ahead. You can say, well, the pastor gave me permission. I can hang up the phone. You can block them on social media. I give you permission. Blame it on me. Growth happens best together. We help one another grow. When we help create the right healthy culture, it's conducive and people can grow together. For sake of time, number 6, to keep growing, we must keep learning. That means you got to stay committed, you got to be consistent, you got to be faithful, you got to keep learning. And number 7, it takes courage to grow. It takes courage to grow. Hear this today. Some people spend their entire life, waiting to start living. Some people spend their entire life waiting to start living. They're waiting for next year,
They're waiting until they reach a certain age, waiting until they get married, waiting until they have kids, waiting until the kids grow up, waiting until they get that promotion, whatever it is. Don't spend your entire life waiting to start living. Have the courage it takes to face the future and to grow. Would you stand with me today? The fact is, growth often requires change. Growth often requires change. And change isn't always fun. Another quote from John Maxwell: change is inevitable. Change is inevitable, but growth is optional. If we're growing, we're going to be out of our comfort zone. But it's the way of life. It's how things work. It's the way growth works. It's called the life of faith. God didn't call us to walk where we've always walked. He didn't call us to do what we've always done. He called us to walk by faith. I'd much rather walk by sight in my flesh. And I can see exactly where I'm going, and I can see exactly the steps I'm going to take, and I know exactly how we're going to get there. And God didn't call us to do that. He called us to walk by faith. Some of you, you've been walking by faith. Some of you, God's calling you to walk by faith. And you're holding on to what you understand and what you know and what's safe. Saying, I want you to grow forward. But it's going to take some change. It's going to take some growth beyond where you're at. There are three types of people: those who need to grow and are not growing, those who need to grow and have stalled somewhere along the way. Then there's those who need to grow. And you might not see the progress every day, but they are growing. We all need to grow. That's a given. Either we're not growing, or we've stalled, or we are growing ever so surely, slowly but surely. Don't let it be as Paul had to write to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. He said, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal? Walk as men." Later on, he said in 1 Corinthians 13, 11, he said, "When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." God's calling us to grow forward. It's going to take some courage. You're going to have to be committed to this. Growth is painful sometimes. We're responsible for our growth. It's going to take a vision that God would give to us. But I want to tell somebody here today, growth is possible. Growth is possible. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
It needs to be the goal of Harvest to help people grow, to create the best environment where people can flourish, where they are challenged, where they're accountable, where we feel conviction and God deals with our hearts. Come on, where we're not just content to stay where we've been for years and years, but God is stretching us as we grow forward. Praise the Lord. Does anybody feel like you've been in a storm this year? This past year. Maybe some of you have been through some things. You've been through some tough times. But I want to tell you something about a palm tree. Brother Wiggins, those hurricanes will come in on that Gulf Coast, and those palm trees, they'll take a beating. And you'll watch the pictures and video of how that palm tree, it'll be leaning way over in the wind as that hurricane hits that shore. And they've measured those palm trees before the hurricane and after the hurricane. And what do you think happens? Through all of that stretching, through all of that wind blowing, through all of that rain, through all of that storm, what does that tree do? It hangs on, but it grows. It grows. Hallelujah. Sometimes we got to go through the storm, but even through the storm, there can be spiritual growth, and God can help you to get a foundation that you're going to hang on through thick and thin, and you're going to make it through whatever comes your way. Come on, is anybody ready to grow? Is anybody to grow forward in the name of Jesus? I wonder if we could gather around this altar today and say, Lord, I'm not staying where I've been, but I'm ready to go. I'm ready to walk by faith. I'm ready to press on. I'm ready to see victory. I'm ready, God, to see some growth in my life this year. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I wonder, young and old, I wonder if we could come today and say, Lord, I got to keep growing. I got to keep growing. Challenge me, God. Get a hold of my heart, Jesus. I pray that you would work on us here today. In the name of Jesus. Come on, maybe last year you weren't satisfied with the growth that you saw. But this year, come on, you're going to press forward with everything you've got. You're going to make a commitment to the Lord this year. You're going to do what He's called you to do. You're going to walk by faith. Lord, help me to grow. God, help me to grow. God, help me to grow this year. Help me make up my mind. I'm going to grow, Jesus. I've got more to do. I've got to hear your voice. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I've got to grow forward. I've got to grow forward. I've been where I'm at for too long, God. I've got to grow forward today. Help me to be faithful, Lord. Help me, God, to reach forward. God, I pray that you'd help me to go through those painful experiences. Help me to leave the past behind. Jesus, give me courage today. Come on, we grow together. Would you get a hold of somebody and pray a prayer of faith with them right now? Come on, we're going to grow this year. Come on, join up with somebody. Link up with somebody. We're going to grow this year. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We're going forward. We're going forward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Make all things new. Yes, you. Make all things new. And follow you forward, Jesus. Yes, you make all things new. Yes, you make all things new, and I will follow you forward. Oh, Lord, you make all things new. Yes, you things new, and I will follow you forward. I'm not going back, I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you, my past is over in you. All things are made new. Surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving, I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you, my past is over in you. All things are made new. Surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving.